Well, that's not good, John. And hopefully it'll come back on and stay on permanently. There's been a few power outages here and there. But let me get the net started. Or is there something else you need to bring to the fore here, John?
No, just thought I'd say that and see if anybody else had anything similar. But go on with the net, and I'll listen here for a bit.
Okay, we do get a good cross-section of people, so there might be others who are similarly affected. Anyhow, this is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. I'm about to start the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. If there's anyone who needs to make a quick call on the W1DX repeater, please go ahead and do so now. I'll start the net in about 30 seconds.
Good evening, here he is.
I'm here, this is... WF1C, Whiskey Foxtrot 1 Charlie, John in Mystic. And no questions.
Good evening. Here is Kilo Alpha 6, Papa Delta Golf, Kevin in Norwich. And one item tonight.
This is Kilo 1, Delta Charlie Tango, Dave in Preston. No questions.
This is Kilo Charlie 1, Golf Quebec Zulu, Dan in Montville. No questions. This is
November Tango 1 Oscar, Jerry in Preston. I have another antenna update, but I think it should be lower priority than any questions that people need help with first.
This is.
Here is Whiskey 1, Romeo Papa Queen, Bob in San Diego, California.
This is November Kilo 1 Victor, Steve Coventry. No questions.
Recognizes John, WF1C, Kevin, KA6PDG, Dave, K1DCT, Dan, KC1GQZ, Jerry, NT1O, Bob, W1RPQ, and Steve, NK1B. Any other check-ins before we get started, please call now.
Thanks, Tim. Good evening to the net. Here is KA6PDG, Kevin in Norwich. I'm going to be succinct here and spare a lot of details so as to not take too much time. But basically, the theme of what I'm going to comment on is things are not always as they seem. And if there's a question, it might be, have you had an experience that others might learn from where you thought a problem was one thing and it turned out to be another? In my situation, I'm going to refer to the situation I grappled with the help of some friends yesterday, having to do with the Raspberry Pi on my desk that was causing interference to my HF rig. And I had known for a couple of months that the anomaly I was hearing on certain frequencies, that obviously was some sort of data, was being caused by the Raspberry Pi, but it took me a while to address it. Yesterday, with the help of a couple of people, we moved the Raspberry Pi away from the operating table across the room, and while it helped to alleviate the problem, or the RFI, let's call it, or the interference to the HF rig, it did not completely go away, and it still was enough to be a problem. Let me reset. So then through some conversations, I realized, well, some Raspberry Pis are Wi-Fi able, Wi-Fi capable, rather than being hooked to the router through an Ethernet cable. And it turned out that I have one of those. It's a Raspberry Pi 3 Bravo is the type. I'm a little new to the Raspberry Pi world, so don't ask me any big technical questions. Anyway, with the help of an amateur friend, was able to convert that over so that it was talking to the router via Wi-Fi rather than through the Ethernet cable. And when we did that, the interference that I was experiencing completely went away. Well, what about the thing about things aren't always as they seem? Well, the other thing that happened is that I started receiving signals all across the bands, not just on specific frequencies, but all across the HF bands, better than I had been in a long, long time. And it also seemed to clear up a problem I'd been having with static interference on some 2-meter frequencies. Both of which I had attributed to a problem with my antenna, and for months had thought, well, maybe the feed point needs to be higher, maybe the antenna needs to be straighter, maybe this, maybe that. And it turned out that a lot of the problems I was having were because of this Raspberry Pi, whereas I thought it was just causing one problem. So maybe others have had experiences where you thought, oh, I've got a problem with my audio, it must be the microphone, and you found out, no, it's not the microphone, it's the power supply, for example, just making something up here. But what it teaches me, or reminds me as a ham, and I'm not a big technical guy, and I'm not ashamed to admit that, but what it reminds me of is that sometimes we have to be a little analytical and approach problems with a scientific mind, which I was not doing, but I was reminded of it when all this happened yesterday. So things are much better in the ham shack, and I learned from it, and I thought it might be worth sharing. KA6PDG back to net.
Be exactly 60 hertz, but sometimes it's hard to tell. So that's something to check. It can sound like a 60 hertz hum. And I had an old ICOM dual band rig that had a microphone on it, and an Icon mic, and it started making a hum, and I took it apart, and I really couldn't find anything wrong with it. Sometimes playing around with it, it would go away, but I really couldn't find out if there was a loose connection or not. So I just went on eBay and spent, I forget what it was, probably $15, and had another one shipped in from China, a Chinese copy, and it got rid of it.
Okay, very good. Thank you, John. That's one possible solution. Let's move on to Kevin and see if he has any thoughts on this. KA6BDG, KC1TWR.
Well, of course, as I'm grabbing the mic now, Radio Cat Phoebe wants to be fed. Not too much, other than the sort of obvious fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants idea. Well, try a different power supply, borrow one from somebody or whatever you have to do, or experiment with different grounding systems, techniques, whatever. But I'm not familiar with the 746, and there are others on the net who might have some more specific suggestions than I. That's about the best I can do. K6PDG, back to net.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. Good suggestions all. Then we'll go to Dave, see what his thoughts are. K1DCT, KC1TWR.
Well, good evening to all. This is K1DCT. Let's see. Glad to figure out, Kevin, that we don't have to do anything with your antennas for a while, I hope. And I also find it interesting that by communicating over wireless, that it's better than being on a cable. But, you know, I'm not certainly not a Raspberry Pi expert by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, I know wireless is like 2.4 gig or 5 gig, so that kind of gets it well out of the ham band, so where the actual internet, ethernet connection, you know, should be about the same, but, you know, it might be just all that switching, but just a guess. As far as the 746 Pro, I don't know if, I missed the call sign, the person that asked the question, but I don't know if they have access to a 12-volt battery, you know, just eliminate the power supply. If they don't, I'd be more than happy to get over there with some sort of battery or bring the rig here and operate it to see if it exhibits the same quality or unquality. That's probably not a word, but that would be my suggestion. You know, either get a hold of another power supply. I don't know how much power he's trying to run on 2 meters. You know, he may, depending on the power supply, he may have to back that down a little bit. And I'm curious if it's only on 2 meters. Is that all they're using it for? Or does it do it on other bands? So I probably asked more questions than I had any answers to. Back to net, K1DCT.
Okay, thank you, Dave. I did reply to him via email and also mentioned that we were bringing it up on the tips net this evening and mentioned the repeater and the time. So I'm kind of hoping he's listening. But just in case he's not, I am writing down all these suggestions and I will definitely send it off to him and maybe one of these will really help him out. Okay, let me reset the repeater real quick. Okay, next we'll move on to Dan and see what he thinks about that, or thinks about Kevin's question about anything that wasn't what it seemed type of an issue that did have a resolution. KC1GQZ, KC1TWR, and the TIPSnet.
KC1TWR, this is KC1GQZ. Well, my two recommendations have already been spoken about, the power supply or, trying it on a battery that is isolated to determine if it is the power supply. Kevin's comment, I guess I'm pretty lucky. My Raspberry Pi is about 40 feet away from the rigs. That's only because the network is up in my office, not down by the ham area. So I haven't had any experience on that, but it is kind of odd. I mean, I'm actually using Ethernet cable to connect the Raspberry Pi. However, mine is also wireless capability, but because it's only a couple feet from the hub, I decided to use Ethernet, hopefully for a better connection. KC1GQZ, back to net control.
Okay, very good, and thank you for that comment, and let's move on to Jerry. Let me reset the repeater again real quick. Okay, we'll see what Jerry thinks about the 746 Pro or Kevin's question, or maybe he'll tell us how he's making out with his antenna. Now would be a good time to mention that. NT10, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, NT10. Let's take Kevin's first. Microprocessors like you have in the Raspberry Pi or microcontrollers like in the Arduino, the Linkits, the ESP32-86s, I mean 8266s, the ESP32s and the Onions, all those, they all throw a lot of digital noise out. Supporting chipsets do. My own experience is that digital circuits, in particular digital chips, because of the clocking pulses, they have fast rise times, sharp corners, fast, downsides, all throw a lot. The analog chips, such as, let's say, op-amps, for instance, much quieter. My only solution for any of these problems has been to essentially shield them, and I do that by putting them within a metal case that obviously gets connected to a ground. It may not be earth ground, but whatever your signal ground is, and that's helped a lot. And if you have cables that come out of there, and we always do, anything long, I tend to always shield it, and that has always solved the problem. It doesn't mean it'll solve Kevin's, but I'd say the chances are 80 or 90%, it will help immensely. Let me reset. On to the ICOM problem with the hum. My experience with that is, as has been said already, bad ground, bad power supply, and obviously a battery is the best way. But I would add to that, most of the time these hums are not actually 60 hertz, they're the second harmonic at 120, which we hear better. Ground loops will also cause a problem with that. And also, if you have a bad shield connection, either poor or the shield has broken off on the mic cord. Most of the mics we use today are either condenser or dynamic mics. Dynamic have even a lower signal level than condensers generally because they don't have any kind of phantom power, so they need even more gain, but both have a lot. It's not like the old carbon mics that had a 1 to 6 volt DC power supply and put out a signal at, like, in the 1 volt range. These other things are in the milli or microvolt range. Any of those things can cause a power supply hum that you'd hear on the receiving end. KC1TWR, NT10, back to net. Hope this helps.
Okay, very good suggestions there, both about the Pi and the 746. That's good. Maybe next time around we'll be able to find out about your antenna. But in the meantime, let's go to Bob and see what he thinks about the 746 Pro and the suggestions that have been made, or about any It's not what it seems type of stories like Kevin was talking about. W1RPQ, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR from W1RPQ. I think Jerry said it the best. You want to get a 12-volt supply and a clean one, a battery, and see if that does it. Mics are notorious for causing those problems. The next question is, even if you've figured that out and the noise is still in the radio, you need to decide what you want to do with it. There are some really reputable repair places out there. I've had my Mark 706 2G sent out a couple years ago to a fellow down south. I don't have that info with me out here in San Diego, but it, you know, you have to ship it down there, get them to repair it, and send it back. But they know what they're doing. I don't know a lot of guys in the local area that are set up to do that kind of work. If there was people, we'd know about them. So decide what you want to do with that radio. It's looks like a radio that would be worth fixing. You can't find too many radios these days that have 2 meters for SSB on them as well as HF. So a worthy little unit, and it doesn't look all that old. So that's what I'd look at there. On to the Raspberry Pi one. Yes, shielding those things is a really smart idea to keep that noise in, but when you took the Cat5 cable off of it, the jumper, I would almost say try a different Cat5 cable. You may have a broken shield on that one, or one of the crossovers may not be correct. But it's kind of amazing that you isolated that much noise, but it's possible. And if the Wi-Fi is working, don't really see a reason to change that. That's all I got. W1RPQ, back to net.
Okay, thank you, Bob, for your comments. And let's move on to Steve, see what thoughts he has on all of this. I know he's been listening eagerly. NK1B, KC1TWR.
NK1B. Yeah, not too much. Lots of good advice on the 746 situation. The power, isolated power, you know, like a battery, and like what Dave said about actually taking the rig to another location, and the ICOM mics are set up that are notorious for little issues, and there's a notable difference between HF and VHF, so just something to definitely look at. I don't really have anything, a story on Kevin's situation, but I'm just always amazed at you know, the differences in you know, between Bluetooth and Wi-Fi and using Cat cable, and how the different results and speeds, even though what is advertised or you're explained, sometimes just swapping back and forth and just a different combination of equipment in different environment, different setup may work better than one, you know, because sometimes you have, you know, multiple, you know, even going direct with the cable or going like Bluetooth or Wi-Fi, and I've switched back and forth between different setups and had notable differences. So good thoughts. Back to that, NK1B.
Okay, thank you, Steve. And we've reached the bottom of the list. Before we go for round two, let's see if there's anybody else out there. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net, open to all amateur radio operators. You do not need to be a member of the club. If you'd like to join us, if you have any thoughts about what's been discussed, or if you have a question or a comment, please come now with your call sign.
Here is. Whiskey 1, Foxtrot Juliet Whiskey, Chuck Groton, no questions, and sounded like Dave and Jerry and
internet.
Okay, thank you for joining, Chuck, and glad that you're here. Okay, anybody else that's out there who would like to join us this evening, please come now with your call sign. Okay, very good. I think we've pretty well taken care of the ICOM 746 Pro question, and certainly had some comments as far as Kevin's Raspberry Pi and Wi-Fi versus Ethernet cable. So let's go ahead and go for round two, and just open it up for general comments. Any thoughts? I do know that Dayton Hamvention is going to be virtual this year. I did also see that the MirrorFest, while the spring version was canceled, the fall version is, I believe, in August. And at this point in time, they are predicting that they will be able to have that live. Just watching the news tonight, apparently the CDC is thinking that the number of cases that we're seeing of coronavirus is going to drop off dramatically in July. So if all that comes to fruition, maybe we're going to get a chance to start meeting again. So based on that, something Kevin Kasich, PDG, and I were talking about at one of the breakfast roundtables was the fact that maybe it's time to start, maybe not on a weekly basis, but maybe arrange a brunch or a lunch or something at one of the local eateries that has outside dining. Just curious what other people think. Is it too soon? Is it not soon enough? Let me reset. Okay, so that's my question for the second round, and we'll start with John, WF1C, KC1TWR.
Okay, good evening again, and I guess I would vote for any kind of meetings, but I think I might ask everybody who shows up to be vaccinated. That might be a good restriction to put on it. At least, I don't know how you enforce it, but at least request that, make it all safer for everybody. And I mentioned to Tim before the net started, I've been without power here since just around the time the net started, and it hasn't come back on, so that's over in Mystic. Hopefully everybody else is okay. Back to net.
Okay, thank you, John. Good point about people being vaccinated, and I did hear on that, well, I'll skip that. I agree with you, and that does make sense to ask that everybody that comes be vaccinated as well as eating outside. And if anybody else is on the net this evening and also affected by a power outage, please let us know. Let's move on to Kevin and see what he thinks. K6PDG, KC1TWR.
Yes, I think it's time to at least start talking about it, and maybe in a couple of weeks we could have something put together. We get the weatherman to cooperate, so we'll see how that goes. But I'm in favor. One place we were talking about as an idea, either once in a while or just on a one-time basis to try it out, was David's place over in, I guess technically it's Oakdale. I was referring to it as Salem. But across from the dinosaur place, I've never been there, and the food's supposed to be good, and they do have outdoor dining, so I'm all in favor of that. Two quick comments from left over from round one. First of all, on the 746, it occurs to me there might be some sort of ICOM users group, either on the internet or perhaps an ICOM users net on the air that NAL could check in on. And regarding my topic, let me reset. Dan made a good point because he said, yeah, we always have things connected to our Raspberry Pis, By the way, this one is in a metal case. That's one of the reasons I got it, was because it's in a metal case. But it is connected to my scanner via the audio cable that goes to the sound card, and also the power, which also carries data, which goes to the Raspberry Pi from the scanner. And of course, the Ethernet cable itself could be acting like a big antenna. And Bob made a good point with maybe there's a problem with the Ethernet cable. So just wanted to do that as a follow-up. Other than that, you know, when it comes to food, I'm always interested. KA6PDG, back to Nat.
David's place across from the dinosaur place. I have eaten there once before, and the food was good. Of course, that was about five years ago. So anyhow, let's move on down the list, and let's check with Dave, see what he thinks. K1DCT, this is KC1TWR on the tips net.
Oh, good evening again to all. This is K1DCT. As far as eating somewhere, yes, I think we're well overdue. I've been penned up too long. I'm in. I've had all my shots, including rabies, distemper, kennel cough. So I'm ready to go just about anywhere. Maybe not India, but just about anywhere else. So I could do David's place, or as I brought up before, Captain Scott's. I think the golf course in Groton has outdoor dining area, if I remember correctly, and I know the golf course in Norwich also has an outdoor dining area, but if you wanted a group, you'd have to call ahead and reserve it. But it is covered, so in case it rains, because that's always how it happens. So I was there last week for an event, non-ham related, but they reserved the, I don't know what they call it, the patio, the outside deck, something. So that's a possibility too. But I'm ready to go pretty much anywhere. So that's my thoughts on that. And I think the 746 thing has been kind of addressed quite well by everybody. I look this guy up now. He's right here in Norwich. So, Tim, if you want to pass my call sign and email along to this guy and let him know, I'll come get it and bring it over here and try it out or whatever you'd like to try. So that's about it. Back to net, K1DCT.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Dave. And glad you've had all your shots. Okay, let's move on to Dan, see what he thinks is the time for us to start getting out and eating together and so forth. KC1GQZ, KC1TWR, and the tips net.
This is KC1GQZ. Yeah, I kind of agree. I really want to meet you guys. I know I never went to any of the breakfasts or anything prior to COVID. Now that I'm getting really active, I would like to meet you guys. I've been looking forward to field day to hopefully meet most of you. I'm in agreement with going out for an outdoor dining. I also agree, though, second COVID shot plus 2 weeks just to protect everybody is a great idea, and I'm open to any general location, David's Place or Groton or whatever you guys pick. This is KC1GQZ, back to net control.
Okay, very good, Dan. on to Jerry and see what he thinks about all this. NT10, KC1TWR.
This is NT10. Yes, I like the idea of getting together, especially if we're doing it outside, and I've had my shots since March, but I'm actually more concerned about people who might not have had them. So maybe having that as a requirement is a good idea. However, a few things. I'm hoping that means that, Tim, you don't have to moderate and sequence how we talk, no interruptions, and I want to see on Dave that metal tag on his collar that proves he really does have all his shots. Separately, one idea that Bob gave me when he was referring to the CAT category Ethernet cable for Kevin's problem. Kevin, if you're using a commercial cable, whether it's CAT 5, 5E, 6, 6A, I'm sure you're not using 7 or whatever, but you're probably okay. But if you make up your own cables and you may not have maintained enough of the twist, typically from CAT 5 up, we had to keep it within a half inch of the connector or closer, and that's not that easy to do. That could be another source. There are shielded Ethernet cables, but we rarely use them. It's really the twist we're depending on. So I wanted to throw that out as one more thing. Let me reset. And quickly on the antenna, I just thought I'd mention that with my luck with the G5RV, I was looking at other dipoles I might add and decided I could do a double-sized G5RV. Got one of them for the same price as the MFJ standard size, and I have to admit, it's really well made. If anybody's interested, I can give you the source. But it's twice as long. I installed that Sunday and Monday, and I'm extremely happy. I put it at the same height, the 45 feet or so as the other, though it's obviously a lot longer. I'm receiving now a lot more traffic yet on 160, 80, 7, everything up to 21 meter. I now can transmit on 160 and load well as long as I adjust, obviously, my ATU. So I just want to mention that if you have the space, that really helps. I made this one more of a V antenna so that I have it aimed in the west-southwest area, which is really where I wanted to put it. My other one is north and south, which I was not as concerned with. So anyway, just wanted to share that in case it's of interest or value to anyone else. NT10, back to net.
Okay, glad to hear that, Jerry. Glad that things work so well, and good comments about the Ethernet cable. And I've seen some poorly made Ethernet cables, even from the factory. So just because it came from a supposed factory and a good source, it's not always 100% right. But let's turn to the cable man himself. I'm kidding. And see what he thinks about getting together. W1RPQ, KC1TWR, and the TIPSnet.
KC1TWR, this is W1RPQ. I am looking forward to getting together. Bit of a drive from San Diego back east, but I'll be home in a few weeks. I did drive by the Montville Diner the other day on the weekend, and it was packed. So I know a lot of restaurants are opening up. It's quite different out here in San Diego. They're just now starting to open up a little bit, but an awful lot of them are only doing takeout and delivery. So it's been very interesting driving around and looking for places to eat. So that's coming back slowly. And Hamfest, I am all in. There's the two that are going to be in Connecticut that I'm going to try to get to. And definitely Bill, K1EV, and myself will be back to Dayton next year in full force to enjoy that if we can. So that's all I've got for tonight. This is W1RPQ, back to net.
Okay, Okay, thank you, Bob, and hope you're, I know you're out there for work in San Diego, but I hope that when you're not working, you get some relaxation, and I hope the weather's good for you out there. Certainly better than here, where it's drizzly rainy and about 50-some-odd degrees. So, okay, let's move on to Steve, and Steve, what he thinks about people getting together and whether we should all make sure we're all vaccinated and what have you. NK1V, KC1TWR, and the tips net.
NK1V. Yeah, my biggest concern is, as usual, my extremely hectic schedule and my distance from most of the locations usually hinders me from getting together for something like that, especially on the weekend. But not a bad idea at all, especially, you know, my biggest peeve with some of the places is the tight little closed-up places are just not wise. You know, nice open-air place or even a larger place where there's some space to move around and there's some airflow is good. Also, I survived the J&J vaccination. I'm still alive to tell about it, so I should be pretty good for that. What was the other? Oh, the Hamfest. Yeah, I'd love to get to a Hamfest. I just hopefully not spend too much money, but I've been looking. I've seen a couple emails come in, and especially once in good weather where it's indoor-outdoor, you know, a lot of outdoor space and stuff, that's just perfect. And again, people just got to be smart. You can't be piling all over each other and just, you know, be smart. Back to net, and K1B.
Okay, thank you, Steve. And yeah, I feel a little torn about indoor eating myself. I'd much prefer to stay outdoors at this point. The Uncasville Diner does have a banquet room. It's a sunroom, but it's fairly large, and that's usually where we would meet on Saturday mornings. And I mean, at one point, I think we had 12 people eating there, and we were only half, if not a little bit less than the tables in the center aisle, and then there was all the booths that circled us that didn't have anybody in it, and it had an outside door that would open up, but it was still inside, and all the air inside would still circulate, and it was an open doorway leading up to the main room, so I'm not even thrilled about that. Okay, let me reset before we hear from Chuck. What do you think about the thought of getting together outside and asking everybody to please be vaccinated and what have you? Is it time to meet again? W1FJW, KC1TWR, and the tips net.
Well, I've had my shots, and I've reached full immunity, so I'm ready. Support about anything. And going back to the home issue, there's a free, even I can afford it, free software out there called Sound Card Scope. It's an oscilloscope program for your computer, and it takes the input port on your computer, audio input, and drives an oscilloscope that has both time domain and frequency domain display. And the frequency domain display is interesting because if you have a hum problem and you look and find out what frequency the hum is, if it's 60 hertz, it's usually a busted shield someplace picking up 60 hertz field that seems to be everywhere around here. If it's 120 hertz, then it's power supply ripple. And if it's a near miss, like a 156.7, then it's probably the PL has gotten out of hand on your HF rig. Back to net, W1FJW.
Okay, thank you, Chuck, and very interesting advice on that soft on that sound card scope software, and very good information about the frequencies. Okay, we've gone through two rounds, and I think we've picked up everybody's thoughts as far as eating, getting together and eating, and so forth. I think we're ready to close out the first section, go to the second section with announcements and items of interest. But before we do that, is there anybody, any further comments or any further check-ins? Please call now. Okay, we'll now start the second section of the TIPSnet, the second of three sections. Does anyone have any announcements about upcoming events or items of interest? Please call now.
Here is. KA6PDG, I have our net of the night and one other item. Thanks, Tim. Well, a new feature here on the TIPSnet on Wednesday nights is a moment or two set aside during this part of the net to highlight different nets and on-air groups that are around that might be of interest. So tonight, I'd like to bend your ear for a moment or two about the New London County Weather Net. The New London County Weather Net has been around for a long, long time. It meets on Monday nights on this repeater, the 14706 machine in Salem. The net is called to order at about 5:15, and I say about, wait a minute, 8:15, excuse me, on Monday nights, and I say about 8:15 because it meets a minute or two after the Region 4 South Aries net closes. So it's usually about 8:15, maybe 8:20 on Monday nights. New London County Weather Net is a net about, you guessed it, weather. If you're interested in weather, want to learn about weather, want to share weather experiences, want to learn about the National Weather Service Skywarn Spotter Program and how to get involved in that, or just want to check in and say hi, it is a friendly net open to all amateurs. You do not have to be a Skywarn Spotter to check in to the New London County Weather Net. One of the things the net does is it does provide the opportunity to practice sending weather data in a designated format that the net control reads off at the beginning of every net. In other words, you give your information in a certain order: temperature, sky condition, precipitation, dew point, blah blah blah, and that's always explained. So it's practice, almost like a traffic net, but not quite that formal. In following instructions and following a format for passing information. The other thing that's important to note is, well, number one, you don't have to pass weather data if you don't want to. You just want to check into the net and say hi or ask a question. The other thing is that the net always reminds people you do not have to have weather instruments to be a vital part of the net. Sometimes the most important information you can provide, even in a weather emergency or skywarn situation, is using your eyes and ears. And if you do choose to get involved in skywarn weather spotting, you'll learn all about clouds and different things that you can observe with your eyes, for example, that are very valuable to the National Weather Service. But again, the New London County Weather Net is sort of an informal training arm, so you don't have to be a spotter to check in Monday nights at about 8:15-ish, right here on the Salem repeater. Let me reset. My other upcoming item of interest, and I'll try to repeat this next week, but for you POTA fans, the North American Kilowatt Club is doing a POTA expedition. Myself and N1SPX and KD0BQR We'll be operating Club Station November Alpha 1 Kilo Whiskey from the evening hours of May 14 to the noon or early afternoon hours of May 22nd at various parks in Missouri, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. Maybe Kansas, but that's not in the plan right now. So I hope that all my friends and all those interested in parks on the air will look for NA1KW on the HF bands from a whole bunch of parks, again, from the 14th to the 22nd of May. Would love to talk to as many of you as possible. KA6PDG, back to net.
Thank you very much for that information about the Skywarn net and also about the KA1KW POTA activities coming up. If anybody has any questions or comments for Kevin on either of those things, please come now with your call sign. About upcoming events or items of interest. If so, please call now.
Kilo Bravo 1, Quebec Juliet X-ray, Operator Dave, Jamesport, Marina, New London.
Okay, the operator that just called, would you mind coming back in with your call sign? I thought you were one person, and then I realized that you weren't. You were somebody else, and I totally missed getting your call sign written down. Could you come back again with your call sign?
Yes, I am somebody else. Operator named Dave. Call sign KB1, that's Kilo Bravo 1. Suffix is Quebec Juliet X-ray, that's QJX, Quebec Juliet X-ray. How copy?
Okay, I copy very well. Kilo Bravo 1, Quebec Juliet X-ray. Do you have any comments this evening? Please proceed.
The only comment I really have, nothing really ham radio related, but I know we're kind of a tech-minded group here. As an amateur astronomer, I know a lot of hams are also amateur astronomers, but I just thought I'd throw it out there and see if anybody even cares. Starship SN15, just like an hour and a half ago, successfully stuck its landing, and it didn't explode afterwards or tilt over, flop over, or anything like that. So they finally, SpaceX finally managed to pull that off. Just thought I'd throw that out there. KB1, QJS.
Okay, thank you, Dave, for that information. Anybody with questions or comments about that, please go ahead with your call sign now. Okay, I do have one announcement. I just found out today that Steve Finberg, Whiskey One Golf Sierra Lima, who was a member of the MIT Radio Society or radio group up near MIT in Boston, has passed away on April 23rd. He maintained a list of all the amateur radio ham fests and auctions and what have you, all through the New England area, and he was also instrumental in helping the MIT Radio Club to keep going, and also the MIT Flea Market, which was every third Thursday, I believe, eight times a year up there near Boston. He was also one of the engineers who worked on the Daedalus project, which is the one where it was a human-powered flight that flew from Crete to Santorini, the island of Santorini in Greece. So I just wanted to pass along that he is now a silent key. And, okay, and with that, I think we're ready to close out this section, go into the third section. Is there anyone that wishes to swap, sell, or looking for amateur radio-related items? If so, please call now.
evening.
The time is 8 p.m. on Wednesday, May 5.
Okay, nothing heard for the third section, so I think we'll work on closing the net, the tips net for the evening. Before I close it, though, I would like to do one last call and see if there are any comments or any further check-ins. Please come now with your call sign. In the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net, which would include John, Kevin, Dave, Dan, Jerry, Bob, Steve, Chuck, and Dave. And also those who stood by and listened as we conducted the net. Hopefully you found something of interest and educational. We'd also like to thank W1AN for allowing us to use the W1DX repeater. And Joe, K1IKE, for the EchoLink connection. And Kevin, KA6PDG, who has been recording these sessions and making them available on his website, which is am1700.org/tipsnet. That's Alpha Michael 1700.org /tipsnet. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has their meeting on the second Tuesday of each month, normally at the American Red Cross office in Montville. However, for the time being, due to COVID-19, the meetings are being held on Zoom. And the Zoom link is usually posted about 2 days in advance on the Tri-City website, which is TRICITYARC.net. That's TriCityARC.net. Meetings are on the second Tuesday, starting at 7 p.m., but the Zoom session usually starts about a half hour to an hour early to allow for some socializing. And also, after the net, there's some socializing. So, this net will meet again next Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is KC1TWR wishing everybody good evening at 73.